Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
There we are. Hey, everybody. Good morning to you, each and every one of you in the building. Hello. Alive and kicking. It's a fresh morning. But the only thing fresher than the morning is the move of God's Spirit in this place. How incredible was the worship today? And welcome to you if you're joining us online today, wherever you may be, whatever town you may be in, whatever city you may be in, whatever country you may be in, welcome to it today. So good to be together. There's no place quite like home. Pastor Ken and I had a fabulous couple of weeks away, but I tell you, there's no place like home. We missed your faces, and didn't Kulu do an incredible job last week? An amazing job, Kulu, well done. The good and perfect gift. And so good to hear from Pastor Donovan the week before that as well, to hear about his journey of gratitude. And so it is good to be back in this place. We had an amazing break. We met a thin place ourselves. I'm going to tell you about it in a little moment or two's time. I'm so encouraged. You know, Pastor Ken mentioned that we got an opportunity to chill and watch the services online. And as I did so, we watched a Piwe, we watched Kristen give 5 minutes of fire. A Piwe came in hot. Kristen brought the depth. The future is bright, is it not, Thrive? Because we are a church passionate about helping people move towards Jesus. So if you're in the building today, can I ask you, are you alive? Are you ready for God's word? If you're online, just put in the chats alive, put in there kicking, and we are ready for God's word today. So come, can I ask you to stand to your feet? Put your hand on your heart. Hey, if you're watching online, that includes you. We stand for God's word. We stand to honor the space together. We stand to ask God's Spirit to move. We didn't come to church today, the leaders that are in the building, out of a sense of duty. We came freely. Nobody compelled us to get up on a morning where it's minus degrees. We came, the worship team, nobody compelled them. They decided they wanted to serve. And we're here because we want God's Spirit to touch us. Today I want to discharge a burden for us. This is not a message. This is a burden. This is not something that I want to say. This is something that I hope you'll feel. This is something that I hope will lodge itself in your heart today. So Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your touch upon the word of God today. We pray that you would anoint it. We pray that you would speak to each one of us. I pray, God, that as the word is preached today, that the Spirit of God would blow over it. I pray that it would bring life. I pray that it would ignite something in us. I pray that it would lodge something deeply within us. I pray that it would shift something permanently upon us and within us. I pray that it would move something irrevocably in our lives, that there would be something that grasps into our hearts today that changes us forever. I pray that there today would be a sin place that we would identify. A place, God, where you meet us most personally and most powerfully and most profoundly. A place that we would always understand exists. We can go to it at any time and find you there. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please have a seat if you're in the building. Pastor Ken and I got an opportunity to spend some time in the mountains in the Drakensberg. It was amazing because we got a huge, huge, giant snowfall just as we were there. Woke up one morning, the mountains looked like it was something out of a Swiss storybook. It was so, so beautiful. One of the things you got to do when you're in the Drakensberg is you got to go hiking, right? And so we went hiking, and there was a particular challenge that the resort that we were staying at put up for us, that you got to do these 4 hikes, and then you get a medal and a certificate, and you get your name on their wall of fame. I'm like, I'm sold. We're doing the 4. The last of the 4 was a hike called Baboon Rock. There's a picture of Baboon Rock. I've circled the baboon's face so you can see it. That's the view from the hotel. We had to get all the way to Baboon Rock and then up Baboon Rock. And we literally, the goal is to stand on the baboon's head. So that's what we did. Now, as you hike Baboon's Rock, we got to a particular place where after climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing, You think you're there, but you're not. Because they're taking you around the baboon's back first before you climb up his head. So it was quite demoralizing because we thought we were there, but then they take you on this little ledge. And there's no other way to describe it, guys, other than a ledge. A little path that was like 2 feet wide. Where you sort of find your way around the baboon's neck and then back up onto his back so that you can stand on his head. This path was like this wide. Our guide Zweli went ahead of us. Pastor Ken next, me last. As my wife embarked upon this path with a drop down one side and a steep mountain on the other side, she did this with her one face, with her one hand, like this, and gave Zweli her other hand. And so she was walking along this very thin path, this thin place. Like this. Like, I'm not sure that it's a good idea not to be looking. But she put her trust in Zweli. It was a thin place. And actually, the view was spectacular. You never got to see it, babe, because... But the view was amazing. It was almost like there was one moment where I looked up from the path and we were so high up that the clouds had kind of come down and it looked like the clouds had met the earth. You know, when the sky and the earth become one. And it's almost like they integrated and they lapped over each other and heaven met earth. And I thought to myself, this is a thin place. I mean, not just literally, it was like a skinny path. That this was a thin place. We're in a series at the moment called Thin Places, where the Holy Spirit meets us. The idea behind it is that thin places are those places where heaven touches earth. Where heaven meets earth. You know, the thin places, we all have them, can be the words of loved ones, where we feel like heaven touches earth. Can be time spent with loved ones. Can be answers to prayer. It can be beautiful places. You know, climbing a mountain in the Drakensberg, seeing the clouds descend and touch, where heaven literally touched earth, felt like a thin place for me. Heaven met earth. We've all got those thin places. But there are particular places in Scripture, where heaven meets earth consistently. There are places in Scripture where you can go anytime and God meets people there. There are two particular places. I don't know, if we feel it, we might go to three. I don't know, we'll see. But two particular places over the next 2 weeks where heaven meets earth. Thin places where the Holy Spirit meets us particularly. Next week we're going to speak about a thin place called the desert. Dry places. Rough places. Lonely places. Where heaven meets earth. But this week, today, we're going to talk about a thin place where the Spirit of God meets us personally, profoundly, and powerfully. Where time after time after time, example after example after example in Scripture of where heaven meets earth in this thin place. This thin place I've called quiet places. Quiet places. Spaces and places where the Spirit of God meets us. Church, you can go anywhere in Scripture and anytime anybody in Scripture got themselves intentionally into a quiet place, it became a thin place where the Holy Spirit met them. The particular quiet place that we're going to look at today takes us back 3,300 years into the desert of Sinai. Takes us back to a time just after the Exodus. Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness. God had a plan that they would only be in that wilderness for a few days, en route to the promised land. Things go wrong though, and the start of things going wrong was the scene that we're going to dive into today. There's a moment where Moses has gone up Mount Sinai. God's called him up. He says, Moses, I want to give your people, I want to give this people a covenant. I want to show the slave nation of Israel what they are to become. I want to teach them how to live. I want to show them the way that they are now being called to live as they've come out of Egypt. I want you to see what I've got for them. And God inscribes with his own on two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not commandments by an angry God. They are life-giving ways to live. And God inscribes, God, can you imagine receiving a stone tablet inscribed with the very handwriting of God? And Moses receives these tablets, comes down the mountain, but he's been up that mountain for a long, long time. This nation of Israel that have just come out of slavery, just come out of a polytheistic, multiple God worshipping environment of Egypt, they have found that their leader has been gone for a few days, 40 of them. And they can't cope. And so what they do is they approach their high priest, the sort of priestly guy that had been put in, Moses' own brother, Aaron, and they say, we don't know where this fellow Moses has gone. Seems like he's disappeared up the mountain and he's gone. We need something to worship. And so what they do is they go, could you make us something golden? Whole nation of Israel brings all of their gold jewelry together, gets melted into fire, they make a golden calf. Okay? And Moses comes down the mountain to find the nation of Israel worshipping a golden calf. He loses the plot. He loses it like you lose it when you get to Home Affairs and you check the queue. He finds them worshipping a golden calf. He throws the handwritten commandments of God on the ground in anger. Takes the golden calf. Listen to this. This is next level. If you thought you were psycho, check this out. He gets them to grind the calf down into golden dust, puts it in the water, and gives it to them to drink. So it's like he's creating golden calf energy drink. See, we even made a logo for it. Check it out. And he goes, you want a golden calf? I'm going to somehow give you a golden calf. And he makes him drink. Can you imagine these? I mean, can you imagine the elaborate thing that had to happen to grind this thing down, to put it in the water, and he's dishing it out to the oaks? Anyway, Moses loses it, gives him golden calf energy drink. And this is where he finds himself. Right in the midst of a wilderness and a people that are just all over the show. Moses, to his great credit, does something incredibly profound, which each one of us, when we find ourselves in situations where we just want to lose it, we can do the same. Exodus chapter 33 is where we're going to go today. We're going to read from verse 7 onwards. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and to set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request to the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up, stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. And as he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. The Lord would have a coffee conversation, as Hein led us so beautifully in today. As one speaks with a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Let's just pause there. When we see God's, this cloud descended, we know that heaven has met earth. Are you with me? We know that the Holy Spirit is present. It's become a thin place. Are you with me? Let's carry on. Verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me with whom you'll send, with me. You've told me I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor." See how Moses is just pouring his heart, his doubt, his insecurity. He's pouring it all out to God. He says, "Let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." I love it. Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on us, on me, on, and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." Man, there's so much here. The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked. For I look favorably on you and I know you by name." I hope these words are nourishing your soul today. Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock, and as my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." Let's leave it there. Moses has a thin place. It's a quiet place. Moses sits, he has the... People want all sorts of solutions in a difficult seasons like what we're in. I want to propose to you today that there is one thing above all else that you and I can do that's most powerful for our lives, for our spirits, and for our spiritual lives, and that is for each one of us to set up our own tent of meeting, our own quiet place, our own space where the Spirit of God meets us. I want to offer you today three things about this tent of meeting, this quiet place, this thin place where the Holy Spirit meets us that I think is so powerful for our lives today. Number one, there is distance from the camp and from culture. Do you notice how Moses sets up this tent of meeting? He sets up his quiet place far away from the camp. Far away from the camp and far away from the culture. Why? Because he's looking for distance from the noise. Can you imagine with me today having 2 million Israelites, because that's what they estimate the number was, 2 million people camped together. Talk about being in lockdown with 2 million people. Most of us haven't coped with being in lockdown with our families. Can you imagine 2 million people sharing long drop loos? Can you imagine 2 million people sharing kitchen facilities? Think about how you would lose it. Lockdown with 2 million people. There's a listen, if you're feeling crowded, if your spirit's feeling crowded, you've got to get space from the camp and from culture. You've got to have a quiet place that you retreat into. Silence, solitude, and stillness are treasures to the human spirit. Let me say that again. Silence, solitude, and stillness are treasures to the human spirit. Moses knows he needs a quiet place. Moses knows he needs a thin place where heaven meets earth, where the Holy Spirit can meet him. Moses knows he's never going to get the job done unless he's got a quiet place. Can I suggest to you today, you will never survive the season the way God intends for you to. You'll never thrive unless you pull aside from the camp and the culture. And you've got yourself a tent of meeting. I've got two tents of meeting. It depends on the day. We've got a little sitting room that becomes my tent of meeting early in the morning. But on the days when I exercise early and then take the kids to school, my tent of meeting becomes my car. We get the kids ready, do the things, breakfast, dressing, get to school. And as I've dropped the kids at the school, that then is my thin place. It's my quiet place. It's the only moment of silence that I've been able to have the whole morning. And so I intentionally structure my tent of meeting to be in my car after I've dropped the kids. So some days my tent of meeting, my quiet place, my thin place is a room. Sometimes it's my car, and I just take my prayer journal and my Bible and all of the stuff, and I take my car and I sit there in the parking lot of the school. They must think I'm a stalker or some weirdo, but my car just doesn't move. Like, who is this guy? They want to lock the gates, but the car's still there, you know? Jesus knew that we needed these places. That's why Matthew 6, verse 6. What does he tell us to do? When you pray, go into your room, right? Find your own thin place, your own quiet place, right? Go away by yourself. He doesn't say go away with your family. He doesn't say go hang out with your wife. He says go away by yourself. Go away, shut the door, pray to your Father in private. Jesus knew we needed thin places. Jesus knew we needed quiet places. Here's the thing. Here's the thought that I hope will lodge itself deep in your soul today. Quiet places lead to quiet souls. Quiet places lead to quiet souls. Quiet places lead to quiet souls. And when I'm in my room or when I'm in my car, I'm starting to do some very specific things to quieten myself, to still myself. Let me just share with you a couple of them for a few moments this morning. What I'm doing, the first thing I'm doing is I'm aiming to just stop and sit with my hands open and doing nothing for a minute or two. I literally get my timer out on my phone and I get a stopwatch and I time myself for a minute or two. I just do nothing. Why? Because I'm teaching myself to slow down. I'm teaching myself to do nothing. When was the last time you did nothing? Because the scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. And I wonder to myself, can I know if God is God if I'm not still? So I'm teaching myself to be still. Then what I'm doing is I'm taking a couple of minutes and I'm praying in tongues for a minute or two. So first I'm slowing. Then I'm seeking stillness. Then I'm speaking in tongues. I'm just communicating. I'm just letting my spirit communicate to the Holy Spirit. Then what I'm doing is I'm practicing some breath prayers. I'm breathing in. And as I breathe out, I've just got one phrase that I want to communicate with God. God, I love you today. Or God, I need your help today. Or Jesus, I'm not sure what to do here. Or Jesus, thank you. I'm just picking a phrase. It could be help. It could be thank you. It could be I love you. It could be with me. It could be lead me. One of the breath prayers I've been praying recently is good shepherd, lead me to your love. Good shepherd, lead me to your love. So I'm stilling myself. I'm doing nothing for a minute or two. You know how hard it is to do nothing for a minute or two? Just try it. It's going to feel like torture. Then I'm praying in tongues for a couple of minutes. Then I'm doing some breath prayers for a couple of minutes. And then I feel like my spirit has had a change of pace and then I can approach the Word of God. Are you with me? I feel like then I'm in a quiet space to ask God to speak. Some days, something will leap out at me from the Word of God. Other days, it feels like heaven is silent. Some days it feels like there's something awesome God wants to tell me. Other days, and it can be consecutive days, it can even be consecutive weeks, I get absolutely nothing. But my spirit is still nourished because I'm in a quiet place. And remember, quiet places lead to quiet souls. Are you all still with me? The thing is, as we go through that time, I begin to then, as I read the Word of God, after I'm finished that, I ask God, I review my day, and I ask God, what happened yesterday that you were pleased with? What happened yesterday that you were not pleased with? Yesterday, what were the moments that were full of joy and full of life and full of faith and full of hope? What were the good moments of the day before? What were the gifts that I see? It was the faces of my family. It was the provision that you supplied. It was something that God gave me, all the good moments. But then I look and I say, well, what are the moments that need attention? Why did I react like that? Why did I say that? Why did I think like that? Why did my eyes go to that? Are you with me? But the thing is, you'll only see them. You'll only notice them if you're in quiet places. You only hear those kinds of things if you're in a quiet place. Why? Because quiet places lead to quiet souls. The first thing about Moses' tent of meeting was away from the camp and the culture. The second thing about Moses' tent of meeting is that there was honesty. There was honesty. You see, when God starts to deal with you, when God starts to speak to you, when you've quietened your spirit, when your spirit has become quieter and you've got a quiet place, and the level of intimacy increases, and when the level of intimacy increases, the level of honesty increases. And so we see in Moses' tent of meeting, what Moses is doing is Moses starts to offload a whole bunch of things that are concerning him, that are worrying him. And basically he's going, God, I don't know if I can do this. God, I'm not sure about leading all these people. I don't know who's going with me. I don't know if you're with me. I'm not sure if I'm up to the task. And he offloads everything, and Moses is honest with God. I think one of the greatest gifts we can give to God is our honest hearts. God doesn't want your airbrushed version of yourself. God doesn't want the photoshopped version of yourself. God doesn't want your church smile in your quiet place. One of the most upsetting things to me, honestly, one of the things that threatens the safety of my soul is the dishonesty in Christians about where they're at. I question the authenticity of people's faith when everything is always, by the same token, if everything's always down and you've never got any life in you, then we've got to ask ourselves the question, well, are we really in a life-giving friendship with Jesus? The point is honesty. I think one of the most life-giving things we can do, one of the greatest gifts we can give to God, is our honest hearts. The good thoughts and the dodgy thoughts. Because he has the dirty little secret. God knows them anyway. Are you with me today? God lives in honest hearts. Japanese proverb, God lives in an honest heart. I love that. God lives, it's not just a statement. It's that, you know, God lives. God can breathe. The Spirit of God can begin to move. The Spirit of God can begin to speak to you and mold you and shape you. The Spirit of God can begin to comfort you and challenge you in if your heart is honest before God. Greatest gift we can give to God is our honest hearts. Third thing about Moses' tent of meeting is that there was both promise and presence. I love it. So there's this promise in verse 14. He says, Moses, don't worry, I'll go with you. Everything will be okay. I will go with you. I will personally go with you. And then there's this interesting interchange of this of the presence of God, where verses 19 to 23, we see this interesting thing going on where Moses says, God, show me your glorious presence. And God says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow you to see me, but it's going to be a little bit different, Moses, to what you wanted, because nobody can see my face and live. So I'm going to pass you by. I'm going to hide you while I pass you by. And then as I pass by, I'm going to allow you to come out and you'll see me from the back and you can see partially. And so there's two things that happen when you and I seek quiet places, a thin place where the Spirit of God can descend, right? Places where there's honesty, authenticity, integrity before God. Places that are away from the camp, away from the culture, high levels of honesty. What ends up happening is the reward for that is promise and presence. You will receive a promise of the presence of God. You will receive a sense of the presence of God. Might not come on the day that you want it. Might not come at the time that you want it. It'll come at the time when you need it. And there's this reward to honesty that happens. God promises, and then God gives His presence. God fills honest hearts with His the promise of His presence. God fills honest hearts with both His promise and His presence. So can you see there's this build-up between these three elements of the quiet place, the tent of meeting? It's away from the camp and the culture. The stillness, track with me, leads to honesty. The honesty and authenticity leads to a promise and presence, and a promise of presence. Now, there's this incredible thing about God's presence that I want to help you see today. I saw it afresh for the first time after many a year after when I was studying this passage again. God says to Moses, I want to see you. Moses says to God, I want to see you. God says, okay, I'm going to pass you by, hide you in the rock, come out and you'll see me from the back end. The scripture tells us clearly that God's presence goes ahead of Moses. God hides him. And then it brings about, allows him to see him from the back end. This is the way the presence of God works in our lives. There is a type, there is an illustration, there's a theology being unpacked here. The theology being unpacked is that God's presence goes ahead of us. But this side of heaven, one of the most powerful ways we can see His presence is after it's passed ahead of us. We see it on the back end. This is why one of the most powerful things you and I can do in our quiet places, in our thin places, where the Spirit of God meets us in the quiet places, we can spend a few minutes reviewing the day that was, because we will see the Lord Himself pass through our day. And one of the most powerful ways we see God is on the back end of His activity. And while He goes ahead of us into the day, we only see it afterwards. And one of the ways that you and I can see His presence most powerfully is to simply stop and to pray a powerful thing called the prayer of examine. We review the day with gratitude. We look for all the gifts that were given. We look for all the ways that the presence of God went ahead of us that day. And then we look for all the moments where the Spirit of God nudges us and says, hey, I think there's something for you to think about there. And when you and I are not people who practice something like that, God's presence goes before us day after day after day. Gifts get given to us day after day after day, and we never see the back end of God because we don't come out of the wreck, the cleft in the rock, to see. There's nothing like encountering the presence of God. Guess what, guys? We're making room for the presence of God. The 19th of September is going to be our first encounter evening of the spring. It's going to be at Edenvale. Any Vailers in the house? 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, 4 p.m., 6 p.m. In this season, we're going to be so intentional about making space to encounter the presence of God. One of the most powerful things that you and I can do is to encounter Him by simply reviewing where He went ahead of us in the day. You all with me? If you're online, just put in the chat with you. If you're being helped, let us know. Let's recap, shall we? Worship team will join me. Don't worry about them doing the things. Here's the thing. Hang with me. The Holy Spirit meets us in different places in our lives. But there are particular sin places. Places where the Holy Spirit will always meet us. There are places in Scripture where the Holy Spirit is profoundly and consistently and personally and powerfully present. Sin places like the desert, which we're going to explore next week. Sin places like quiet places, which is where we've been today. Moses leading people in a season where he, quite frankly, had no idea what to do. In a season where he was massively discouraged by the people that he saw around him. In a season where he felt like God had called him to something that was impossible. Moses does something powerful. Moses sets up a tent of meeting outside of the camp. There's three things about the tent of meeting. There's three things about the quiet place. There's three things about this thin place where the Spirit of God meets him that you and I can are invited to grab a hold of today in our spirits. Firstly, it's away from the camp and the culture. There's space. There's distance. Secondly, there's honesty. Moses comes before God and he pours his heart out. And so while there's space and there's distance, it's away from the camp and the culture, Moses begins to see and realize the words that Jesus would echo thousands of years into the future, that quiet places lead to quiet souls. And because Moses' quiet place leads to a quiet soul, Moses is able to become honest with God. And as he becomes honest with God, all sorts of things come to the fore. But the most powerful of which is that there's a promise and there's presence. More importantly, there's a promise of his presence. And Moses experiences God's promise and he experiences God's presence. And he sees the goodness of God pass ahead of him, but he only sees it on the back end of that goodness of God. And there's something so powerful that you and I can do every single day in our thin places, in our quiet places, the places where the Spirit of God meets us, is that we can come aside, away from the camp, away from the culture. We can get honest with God. And as we do so, his promise and his presence will be evident to us. And when we take a moment to just think about the day that was, the gifts that were, we will see the goodness of God on the back end of his promise and his provision, which has gone ahead of us. So come, church, if you're in the building, would you stand to your feet? Hey, online, we're going to worship. We're going to declare some beautiful words over our lives. We love this song because it says, yes, I will. There's declaration. There's power. There's a sense of hope. There's a sense of faith. There's a sense that we will declare with our lips, with our mouths, what we want to see. So come on, today there's an invitation to a quiet place. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Come, we're going to do three things, church. We're going to lift our hands to heaven. We're going to lift our hearts to heaven. We're going to lift our eyes to heaven. And we're going to sing it for all we got. Yes, I will.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.